8 o'clock in the morning. Keith and Don, Mix 96.7. We are so pleased to have with us here at Bigby Coffee. We're on Trenton Avenue. People are using the drive-through. Just had a police officer come through.
Yes, we do. I don't remember what they, was it Mark or
I
can't remember the name. So sorry, but thank you so much for supporting this, and we thank you for all that you are doing out there to keep everybody sane.
Absolutely. We are so pleased to have Dr. William Coase, Chief Medical Officer from Blanchard Valley Health System, who's here with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be here.
This is a trying time, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Confusing time.
I've heard all kinds of adjectives that I haven't heard in the last few years. Unprecedented, trying to flatten the curve, uncharted waters.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the world, this is something that we were talking about this morning with our medical staff, and this is something that nobody's ever seen. Usually when there has been some kind of, well, like our last problems were economic, and we were part of the support system. Now, healthcare is the issue, and we're—I don't want to say unprepared, but we are making decisions hour by hour with resources, staffing, virus loads, and things like that. So, yeah, it's different.
Have you, in your studies and your preparation to becoming a doctor in all these years, prepared for pandemics, prepared for this kind of thing?
No, I don't think so. And that's a really good question, I mean, because there's lots of different aspects to this. I would say fundamentally, when you look at the of what we're seeing here and other infectious diseases, that we have been trained to think about it from an ethical standpoint. We took the Hippocratic Oath. Nurses know what may be going to occur, but from a standpoint of thinking these things can happen, I think we're probably as disillusioned, and that wouldn't be the best word, that we just assume we're going to come up with cures, that we're going to be able to take care of things, that these things are not going to happen. Now, there's been books read. I have a really good friend that's been telling me this for 20 years. There's books that have been written about what's going to happen with plagues, the Ebola we went through. But to have something like this where there is no treatment and apparently being so contagious is completely different than anything that we've seen. Then the second thing is public health has never been very well supported. That's just that's the way we run our country and how we make decisions and what we do. And that's not just locally, and that's not just in Ohio. Public health is not seen as a problem. Public health were the things that were quarantined, tuberculosis, back when there were not treatments, and so it's fell out because there really hasn't necessarily been the need. There's not epidemiologists available. There are not people really studying this, especially in the United States, to the effect that we would be doing with cancer research. So a long answer, but it's not anything that we're prepared for, and I think as much psychologically as what it is physically and knowing how to treat that. And every healthcare provider, when we were talking this morning, is what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to other people. So, again, long answer, but good question.
Is it accurate to say that the medical community is overwhelmed by this?
That's an interesting question. If you say globally, I'd say that's true in certain places. If you walked around right now, let me preface it. What we're worried about is the surge when all of this comes in. And are we going to have enough ventilators? Are we going to be able to take care of people in the ICU? Right now, we are working. We have all kinds of capacity. We have lots of beds in the hospital. We have not been seeing as many people in the emergency room. We have tried to go to more telehealth, talking to people. Obviously, a principle of this is if you're not exposed to somebody, you can't get sick. I mean, that's just a high level. So we've asked people not to come in, or we've talked to them on the phone, and if they are not need to be seen, we're not seeing them, and we're trying to limit that as much as we can. Therefore, people aren't as busy as what they're doing. I think where we would be overwhelmed is thinking about what's the future going to be. But right now, we have plenty of capacity.
You bring up a point that the business of public health has been underestimated, and we've used them for shots and things like that. But Dr. Acton has come forward and has really been a focal point of this whole thing. Are you in support of the things that she's saying?
Now, you're asking a personal question, and I would say what she said I completely agree with. It's going to be easy to look back, and when somebody rewrites the history of that, what we should have done or not done. But if you the issue of testing is a big one, and you get into it, how should we be treating this and trying to find patients that are sick, that are carriers, et cetera, and we just don't have enough tests to go around. But the principle of shutting things down, of keeping people socially isolated, the shelter in home, closing restaurants and bars, and this is a big thing for us, is we're not doing elective surgeries. And from a standpoint of physicians, that's what they do, is to try to prevent things or to take care of things before they become complications. And from that standpoint, what they've asked us to do, I highly support. I'm glad Ohio, it appears to be leading the nation in a lot of those things. And part of the answer to that is if you go back and you listen to what they've said in Washington State, last night San Francisco was on, what's the lessons learned? If we would have known what we know now, we would have been much more aggressive in what we did 2 or 3 weeks ago. So we think we're not behind a curve, but it's just that it's been delayed as far as timing, and we're 2 or 3 weeks behind. And so I think all of these public health principles and what the mayor's trying to do and everyone else, from my standpoint, certainly make really good sense. Now, how that's going to fall with the economy and with people's anxieties and all of those things that are not just part of medicine remains to be seen. But I do think we're not going to see as many infected individuals as what we would have had we just gone on with life as normal.
Let's talk about what Blanchard Valley Health System is doing for the infected individuals or people who think that they are infected. What have you set up?
Well, what we've done, and we've done this in conjunction with public health, is that there is great concern, do I have this? And part of that, to answer your question, is, well, if I have been exposed, am I supposed to quarantine myself for the 14 days and not be around someone? Secondly, part of the problem is for patients is the symptoms that someone gets are fairly close to what you get with influenza A or influenza B or really RSV or a lot of other things. It's a virus and it's respiratory, and so we really can't tell the difference. We are highly limited by the number of tests. So one of the things that we did yesterday at the suggestion of the Ohio Department of Health was to start a clinic where we could do screening. We were asked to do that. Most places that's been done by public health, but in conjunction here with public health, we set up a tent city, what we've called it, outside the hospital, where we can have someone come in and be screened. Now, those are by appointment, and I do have a phone number, 419-423-7890. That's 419-423-7890, where we have around-the-clock nurses that are asking questions about this, specifically about COVID-19 as to whether they should be screened. But we know we're getting a lot of phone calls. Primary care offices have been referring to get the screens. We saw and answered a lot of questions yesterday, and then we would make an appointment for someone to come in. They are being seen by a provider, listening, and then deciding whether we need to do the test or not. Again, I go back, because of the limited number of tests, it makes it very difficult, not just to screen people, but who should have this. We were told last night that perhaps we're not going to be able to do as much outpatient screening. This is only going to be for individuals that are in the hospital. That will be something that we'll probably hear something about today. But the emergency room is open. The Physicians Plus is open. Our primary care practices are open. In general, though, if you're not feeling very bad and you think that you might have something, there isn't a treatment, so we're encouraging people to stay home and semi-isolate themselves.
At what point does a person say, you know what, I think it is time, I may have this, I need to go to the hospital?
I think once you get the criteria, symptoms are really rather vague, but if your temperature's staying above 100.4, 100.4, and you've got a productive cough, or and you don't have to have all of these, or you're really feeling pretty bad, and you would, let's say, one of the questions asked today, you normally would call your doctor what to do. It certainly is appropriate to make a phone call to ask, as is this something that I should come in and I should be seen? I think one of the things that when you try to answer this from a public health standpoint, there isn't really any treatment. Now, if you get a secondary infection, we can treat it. But then we're also concerned people may have a bacterial pneumonia. So you need to be seen for that reason, because that is something treatable. That's where, obviously, providers, physicians can be of help in that determination. But it's also a lot of, I've gotten several calls from business or individuals who work for a business, you can't come back to work till you test negative because we don't want other people to get it. Uh-huh. Well, that's become very problematic because we don't have enough tests. And but back to your question, if you're really feeling pretty sick, it may be something else, at least to make a phone call.
We're talking with Dr. William Coase, who's from Blanchard Valley Health System. I know we're running a little long, but this is very important information to talk about. I would imagine that the people that are on the phones talking to your people, they want to be tested. They want to, and they don't hit the criteria. So there becomes frustration.
Yes, absolutely. I was listening to something last night on a podcast, and again, if we had the availability, his point, this was from Italy, that it would be really, it's not nice to be able to do that, and not just to make you feel better, but we know how much is this outside, how many people are carriers. We just don't know. That is probably the best answer. That's the best answer I can give to a lot of questions, is we just don't know. We are going to learn, but from a standpoint of what you said, that is exactly the case of where things are and where we are right now.
Can you touch on the fact that President Trump mentioned yesterday in his speech to the nation about a drug that they are fast-tracking that may be a possible cure? It's has to do with it's an arthritic drug, and I believe it's malaria. Is that the drug?
That would be Plavix, or I'm sorry, Plaquenil. And Dr. Ratnasamy talked about this today. I think everybody is looking. What we really like to have is vaccination. There's been a lot of work being done, but then you've got to go through animal models, and it's going to take time. There have been isolated reports of things that would be of help. We talked about Plaquenil today. There's nothing that's out there that we've got really good data. One of the questions I've been asked about ibuprofen or using those, and I would say there is no data to say that is a problem. If I were asked to talk to my son, I would probably use Tylenol or acetaminophen would make more sense, because it's the ibuprofens and Aleves and all of those things are anti-inflammatory, meaning they're trying to cut down inflammation. Well, you want your body to be taking care of yourself, and that's what we do with our bodies, is we use inflammatory mechanisms. But there isn't any data. Back to your question, the HIV drug that was used doesn't look like it's going to be of that much success. Maybe some of these others will be of help, but I think it's so difficult to do randomized trials. It's anecdotal. How long did the person have it? How sick were they, in addition to how young they were of getting over things? And I what the president said is right. Everybody is looking, but I don't see that there's something out there right now that we really can promise to people.
We appreciate your time. I know you're busy. You've got a lot to do, and so we'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Sure, anytime, and if you have any questions, give us a call. And, again, use that number at least to call in. There's also public health has a number that's being manned that just trying to talk to people. Again, basic, most important thing is to stay home. Obviously, you have to go out for certain reasons, but the more we can limit the spread of the virus, the better off we're all going to be.
And that number again is 419-423-7890.
Thank you, Dr. William Coase. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Stay well.
We'll be back in just a minute here on Mix 96.7. We'll check the news and the weather as well.
Need a little caffeine? Get it from Bigby Coffee.
I am wired.
With the official coffee of Mix 96.7.
Hey, you want some coffee?
WPBI.